Welcome everybody to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am going to be joined by you guys here in a bit. I am going to jump through all of the questions that I got both via iTunes and via Twitter. If you cannot send me topics either way, you can always shoot me an email at anthony.f as in Frank. Well, in my case, it's as in Fred. Dot Irwin with an I at gmail.com. And you can send me those topics there. Now, that's the least predictable way that I can get to an email just because I get so many emails at that account. But still, if you don't have any other alternatives, you can fire me a topic there. And worst comes to worst, I'll try to just send you a reply if it isn't going to make it to the show. We have a ton of really good questions today. We have some fun ones because things around the Lakers haven't been that great lately, having lost 3 of 4, 2 in a row now. So I asked for some fun questions, and you guys came through there. You guys also have some questions about this, about the way things are going with the Lakers, right? Somebody's wondering if Talen Horton Tucker should continue to play rotation type of minutes. More questions about where I would be comfortable with the Lakers landing in terms of playoff seeding. And then also a really fun one that I'm probably going to start with, regarding physicality and fighting basically in the NBA, and that's coming from an NHL fan. So actually let's go ahead and start there. So this question comes from, M Griffith M. Hey fellas, huge fan and daily listener. Aside from being a huge basketball fan, I'm also a big hockey fan. Love the toughness and grit that goes into the enforcer role, someone who's there to put the hurt on anyone that gets too physical with a teammate. Maybe it's because I want to protect AD and LeBron, but what do you think about getting rid of fighting suspensions and making them just single game ejections? We'd start to see more fights, which could also help on off nights when the Lakers are playing without energy. Lastly, I'm looking for your NBA heavyweight champion to add on this scenario. All right, so, well, I don't know about adding somebody specifically to be an enforcer. The Lakers already have Markieff, and he's about as enforcer-esque as you could probably ask for. All-time enforcer, if that's kind of what you're asking for. Hard to go wrong with Meta World Peace, and which is kind of ironic, right? Which enforcer would you like on your team? Oh, World Peace for sure. and then shortly after him, actually an underrated one is Ben Wallace. That dude, whew, that's just one person I would not want to see in a situation where that guy's angry at me. Now, regarding the enforcer rules and fighting and stuff like that, I personally don't really have time for it. Also, NBA players just suck at fighting generally, so I don't think it really would add much in terms of the off-night appeal as well. Hockey players, it's part of the culture. It's part of kind of what they understand going into basically any situation or any game that they could find themselves in a fight. So they kind of prepare themselves for that in some way, shape, or form. NBA players, for the most part, though, when a fight happens or when you start to see emotions getting a little up and the heart rate starts pumping, generally you see a couple shoves, a couple backward steps, a couple glances around to see if a teammate is going to step in or a referee is going to step in. And then, oh, man, I would totally fight you, except, oh, man, all these people are standing between us. So that's basically where we find ourselves in regards to what you would be seeing if NBA players were allowed to fight. It would mostly be really sad. I'm going to go ahead and answer one more question here before we throw it a break. So this comes from Sean Fish 35. Do you think there is a place for the pure pass first starting point guard in today's NBA, a la Rondo, for successful teams? Or is a league such that you need a combo guard at starting point guard like a Schroeder to be successful? LeBron-led teams are exceptions with him playing point guard. I guess we're saying the same thing about Kawhi teams and about Kevin Durant teams. This is an interesting one, right? Because on one hand, you say, yeah, it's hard to just have a point guard. You know, if we're saying a pass first, right? Is that a pass first player who can't shoot, you know, like Prime Rondo? If that's the case, then yeah, I don't really know if there's room for that player in on a you know, super successful team. But is there a pass first point guard who can knock down open jumpers? I mean, that's offensively about what you would really look for. It's just, you know, a lot of times pass first point guards just aren't normally able to knock down those jumpers. Think Ricky Rubio, Rajon Rondo earlier. I just think generally speaking, shooting ability is probably the most important skill for anybody who spends a significant time on the ball. Instincts are obviously, you know, valuable, and ability to get by somebody is nice to have as well. But being able to shoot and forcing defenses to come out and guard you beyond the three-point line, that makes you a better penetrator. It makes you, which is also going to help with your facilitating, right? Because you're stretching out the defense just because you have the ball. I really think we've reached a point here with point guards where if you're going to be an elite point guard, you probably have to be, absolutely have to be, an elite shooter as well. And you know, can it be made up for elsewhere on the court? Maybe. But generally speaking, given how good wings are nowadays and given the way that the basketball is played nowadays, you have to force defenses to stay honest on you. And really, that's kind of where a lot of the Lakers' current issues lie right now. They just don't really have anybody who is forcing these defenses to stay honest. And the paint gets clogged, and even when the ball kicks out to shooters, they aren't knocking them down. So yeah, give me I would love to see the pass first point guard maybe make more of a comeback, but I just don't see it happening given today's reliance on 3-point shooting. Let's take a quick second here, and when I come back, I'm going to answer more of your questions. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today in a daily podcast, breaking down the biggest news stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get podcasts. Today's show is brought to you in part by BetOnline.ag. Use that promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline.ag to get a 50% deposit bonus when you initially deposit money into the website. Today's game of the day that I'm looking here on BetOnline.ag, the Lakers are going to be in action at home against the Washington Wizards. Now, the Wizards are playing much better basketball right now than really at any point of this season for them. The Lakers obviously are doing the opposite of that. So the Lakers are giving up 6.5 points to the Washington Wizards at home. And I gotta be honest, I'm not all that confident in it. Teams are scoring a little too easily on the Lakers. And honestly, more importantly than that, or probably a bigger concern to me than that, is what the Lakers are not doing from the three-point line. It's just, you can't win in today's game if you aren't knocking down three-pointers at even like a respectable clip. And the Lakers are well below respectable at this point. So until things turn around there, and maybe they do turn around in this one. So if you believe that the Lakers might get things to turn around from deep and can get enough stops to get out in transition, then maybe you see some value here with the Lakers only giving up 6.5 points to a Washington Wizards team that basically at any other point in this season would probably be giving up, you know, would be getting double digits in this matchup. But things are kind of where they are right now for the Lakers, and until they prove otherwise, I'm not really comfortable telling anybody to bet on them. So, fade me, follow me, whatever you want to do. Just do so at betonline.ag. Use that promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% deposit bonus. Whatever kind of gambling you do, please do so responsibly. All right, so the next question here I have from you guys is asking about Talen Horton Tucker and whether or not I would keep him in the rotation. Yeah, I would probably keep him in the rotation. I'd be a little nervous, or I am a little nervous about what we've been seeing from him lately. It's not been pretty, to be completely honest. It's just difficult when... So basically, what the Lakers have done with Talen Horton Tucker this year, and this isn't to discount what we've seen from him, I promise. It's going to come across that way, but I promise it's not. I don't mean to discount the talent. But what the Lakers have done with him this year is they've made the game uber simple with him. Credit to Frank Vogel, credit to his teammates, and also, you know, credit to Talen Horton Tucker for taking advantage of this. Problem is, the ways that they have made the game super simple for him have been by spreading out defenses and having LeBron and AD on the court with him, and or LeBron and or AD on the court with him, and basically just telling him, hey, just go get at least 1 foot into the key and make your decision from there. And that's been great, right? When he has looked really good, he gets into the key almost every time he touches the ball, and either he finishes at the rim or he dumps it off to the dunker spot, usually to Montrezl Harrell. They've had a nice chemistry this year. Or he finds a opposite corner kickout that, you know, really puts defenses in tough spots. But given the way that the Lakers are shooting, means the key is that much more clogged up, so he has to make his decision a lot more quickly right now than he has throughout the year. And also, because AD isn't out there, defenses have one fewer superstar to really be concerned about. And again, that further clogs up the paint and really makes his decision-making and the time with which he can make those decisions. It's a lot more complicated. The game is a lot more complicated to him. Add that to this being, you know, the most basketball he's played in a year plus, and you can really kind of see why he would be running into a wall right now. So until the game starts looking a little simpler for him, and until the Lakers can help him a little more in regards to making the game look a little simpler for him, I could kind of see limiting his minutes, cutting him out of the rotation. I think is extreme, but maybe limit his minutes and really, you know, hyper focus those minutes in situations where the game is as close to what it was at the beginning of the year as it could possibly be. So the next question here, I answered it in last week's mailbag, but there's no problem going over this again, just so that everybody is on the same page here. But Powell Reitel writes, my view is I don't care about where we land as long as we avoid the extra games of the play-in, any argument. This is regarding playoff seeding, and there are a couple other questions about this in this mailbag, so I'm just going to clump them all and answer them in this question. But so basically, that's where I am, too. I don't care where the Lakers are, whether it's first seed, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. None of those things matter. If they're in that clump of first to sixth, then they're going to be fine come postseason time. So long as they're healthy, obviously. But once you get into that 7 or 8 spot and you're dealing with play-in games and given the amount of variance that you're seeing in the NBA where a team can just get hot and that can basically go a long way in ending your season, that's kind of terrifying. So I would prefer to be 6 seed or higher so that you can let the other 7, 8, 9, 10 seeds go up against each other in that kind of situation and then let those chips fall as they might. Also, on top of this too, the type of teams that they would be playing in that play-in series, you know, even if you're looking for confidence, if the Lakers do find themselves in that situation, the confidence should come from the fact that they would be playing against a very mediocre team that the Lakers should be able to take care of business against. Otherwise, if you can't knock off essentially a bottom tier postseason team, then you aren't really a serious title contender anyway, which I do consider the Lakers to be. And if they were to go into that series, I would make them, you know, heavyweight type favorites. When I say that I would prefer or that I don't want to see the Lakers in the seventh spot or lower, it's more just because of variance than it is I'm actually nervous about any of the matchups that they might see there. I think the Lakers are really, really good, and if they can't knock off one of the 7 through 10 spots, then they don't really probably stand much of a chance against the Clippers and the Nets and the Bucks and the... I guess we can group the Jazz into this category as well. So yeah, I mean, I it's not something I'm particularly nervous about. It's also, that wouldn't be something I'd be particularly thrilled about. More than anything, though, the Lakers got to get healthy. They got to get healthy. They got to find a way to get some rest and freshen up a little bit, especially over the All-Star break, and then come back for that second part of the season looking a lot better physically and even mentally than they have looked over the last couple weeks or so. Let's go one more question here before we get out of here. So this is from Powell Reitel. Also, if it's okay to have two questions, always wondered, how does it feel to have people all around the world listen to you daily? I mean, I'm a guy living in Poland, have not missed an episode since 2018, and wonder if you got your PS5, is it a little weird? It must be a little weird. So I haven't gotten my PS5. I've kind of given up on that until I stop getting notifications, basically, that the PS5 is on sale, or for sale or whatever it is. So yeah, I'll eventually get around to it. Right now, in the middle of the season, I wouldn't have much time for gaming anyway, but now, regarding that question, so it used to be way back in the day when we first started working with Megaphone as the distributor of the podcast, there used to be a map of all of the everywhere that the show is being downloaded, right? So as soon as you hit, go live on the podcast, you would obviously see a giant bubble in the LA area, some spots up and down the West Coast in general, right? And then some in New York. Oddly, quite a few people actually in Las Vegas were Lakers fans. So seeing those pockets of where you might see LA natives kind of distributed across the country, that was always interesting. But then over the course of the evening, you would start to see the Philippines show up, and you would see Argentina. We were actually really big in Argentina there for a bit. Obviously, at that point, the Far East, right, where you had China and you had Japan and countries like that, while Kobe was playing, it was interesting. It was wild to see us kind of picked up all the way out there. So, you know, back then the novelty of it was pretty striking. At this point, you know, we've been doing this for long enough. I'd be nervous if if those pockets had completely dissipated. So, it's the one thing that I don't think I'll ever really get used to is those rare moments where I'm just kind of walking around and somebody will notice me. That is especially interesting to me. I love it all the same. Anybody who ever wants to take a picture with me or interact, or just kind of if I'm at a sports bar, whenever we're allowed to be at sports bars again, and you see me there and I'm just kind of watching the game, pull up a chair and I'll watch the game with you. That's kind of what I got into this to do. But yeah, it's never not like a, you know, for those who get nervous about meeting anybody, you should, well, for one thing, don't ever be nervous meeting me. I'm probably a lot more nervous about it than you are. But in those moments, you know, it's more of like a, holy crap, this is actually happening right now kind of moment for me as much as it is for anybody else. All right. That's going to do it for this, for that portion of the show. Let's take another quick second here. And when we come back, I'm going to finish off with as many of your questions as I can possibly get to. Listen to Locked On NBA on Mondays. Josh Lloyd, host of our wildly popular Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast, takes you around the NBA's major headlines with the help of our local experts. Listen to Locked On NBA and subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Today's show is brought to you in part by Built Bar. Head on over to BuiltBar.com, use that promo code LOCKEDON, and you will save 20% off your next order. Not your first, your next. So however often you go to the website and you make a purchase, use that promo code LOCKEDON, and you're going to save 20% off. And you're saving 20% off on an incredible product. We've been working with these guys forever now, and it is the kind of thing, the kind of partnership you're really proud of, not just because of the ability that we've been able to work together, but also because of how great the product itself is and how easy it is to sell. I've told my family about it, close friends back home, friends that I've made out here. I personally use it almost every day, basically. I would probably say I'm closer to every day than anything else, any other way you could describe this thing. It's great for me because I'm always on the go. Always have some errand to run or something to write or something like that. Avery got into some kind of trash or something, so I have to clean up and don't have enough time to eat a full meal. Built Bar has been great with that. I've lost weight since we've started working with them because it's a super healthy bar. Great flavors, great textures, just an all-around fantastic product. So one more time, head on over to BuiltBar.com. Use that promo code LOCKEDON to save 20% off your next order. BuiltBar.com, the best protein bar you'll ever eat. All right, now at ShaneWD, at Shane underscore WD, wants to continue with questions about Talen Horton Tucker. Asking now, would you be willing to give up THT for a more win now piece such as PJ Tucker? THT clearly has a different timeline to a LeBron team and has a ways to go to win important playoff minutes. Ooh, man. So what's funny about this, I swear, I saw this question earlier and did some thinking about it. And at that time, my response was, no, I'd probably still stick the course and see if you can develop him and have a kind of relatively cheaper player and a younger player who you can infuse some talent with over the course of his career and over the course of this window. And I still think about 58.73% of me feels that way. So more than me feels as if you should, you know, ride this out, then says, no, go out and get a little bit more win now type of help. I will say, though, his contract situation makes me a little nervous because some team out there will have watched him all season and convinced themselves that he can continue to develop in their organization and they can reap the rewards of the Lakers' scouting department. So we see this sometimes with the Dodgers. I read an article over the weekend about how, you know, teams will basically, they'll have a prospect and they'll look at that prospect as kind of mediocre-ish, right? Not super elite, or they'll have a player who is not super elite, kind of a mediocre player, and then the Dodgers will come calling and they'll say, well, wait, the Dodgers have turned around all of these players. What are they seeing that we're not seeing? Can we find a way to turn around this player? And they'll ask for the Lakers to the Dodgers to overpay because of the situation. And I think we might start seeing that with the Lakers scouting department, where you look around the league and Jordan Clarkson is probably going to win Sixth Man of the Year. Julius Randle should make an all-star team this year. Obviously, D'Angelo Russell has really struggled with injuries and stuff, but he made an all-star team and got the Brooklyn Nets to the playoffs. And you can, you know, continue. Larry Nance Jr. is probably one of the most impactful teams on the Cleveland Cavaliers right now. You've seen the strides forward that Brandon Ingram has made, and even Lonzo Ball is really starting to to work out Ivica Zubac, and I could keep going, right? Svi Mykhailiuk, Mo Wagner has even turned things around before he got hurt. Thomas Bryant was really playing well. So I kind of wonder if what some team out there, on top of the fact that we've seen Talen Horton-Tucker play really well, some team out there would be like, well, obviously the Lakers saw something in this kid and he performed pretty well earlier this year. Maybe we should pay up a little bit and see if we can develop him over the entirety of that contract and see what he turns into. And so if it reaches a point where the Lakers might get nervous about losing him to free agency because they want to extend Dennis Schroeder, who more closely fits this timeline. Maybe the Lakers don't want to lose Alex Caruso in restricted free agency. And so if they basically say, well, we're going to lose one of these players, let's basically, see what we can get in on the trade market for him and see if we can also help our team in the immediate future, then that's the kind of situation where I could see the Lakers moving him. All that said, more of me says, just ride this out, see what he looks like whenever AD gets back, see what the team looks like, because obviously the team looked great for whenever they flipped that switch, they were the most dominating force in the NBA. So do you need that much more win now type help? And even if you do move Talen Horton-Tucker, you probably have to move another rotation piece as well to be able to make contracts work for one thing. And then also to have minutes for whatever player shows up. And, is there a player on the market where that type of a deal even makes sense here? Because, the player used as an example here is PJ Tucker. I don't know that I would do that for PJ Tucker. Like, that's not really the type of player that the Lakers need right now. Now there was some rumors that the Lakers are active in some of these trade talks, and they do have their eye potentially on Talen Horton-Tucker PJ Tucker, or Mo Bamba was another name that I've seen kind of thrown out there. If they can buy low on Mo Bamba and see if they can develop him with Phil Handy, then that would be an interesting one, because he wouldn't demand the type of minutes that say Tucker might. But yeah, it's a. I still find myself saying, look, the Lakers are great. No need to reinvent the wheel just because of the situation that they find themselves in. And ride this thing out and see where you're at whenever AD comes back. Let's go a couple more questions here. Let's have a little bit of fun here to wrap up the show, given the state of the Lakers right now. So, Hey, it's Simba writes, what is a proper form of punishment for people who ruin a steak by ordering it well done? Oh, well, the problem is, like, somebody who orders their steaks well done, you can't really punish them because they obviously like punishment. Like, they enjoy having a beautiful ribeye or a succulent filet and charring it to the point where their taste buds are more like hammers than they are. They're hammers that are meant to break down this wasted piece of meat than the way taste buds should be used, right? Where the meat slides on top of them and oh my goodness, everything tastes so great. And there's, you get the juices from the steak mixing in there as well. And you take a nice sip of red wine to go with it and everything tastes amazing. And then you see some freaking Neanderthal drop a piece of coal on their plate and smother it probably in ketchup I'm annoyed. So yeah, I don't even know how you would punish somebody who is okay with that. They probably go out there and punish themselves on the weekend because they don't know any better. Let's go a couple more questions here. This is from. So somebody's asking about WandaVision and whether or not I've been watching it. I have been watching it and I have thoroughly enjoyed it. I've reached the point where I'm, they have a lot of questions to answer over the course of the next few weeks that I'm not sure they're going to be able to squeeze into three episodes or so. Especially when you look at the runtime on Disney Plus and it's like 38 minutes, and then you look at the actual amount of show and it's like 26 minutes. That's kind of a bummer. But yeah, I'm not going to spoil anything. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. The question asks if I think this is how they're going to start weaving the X-Men or introducing the X-Men or potentially Fantastic Four into the MCU. I think there's a chance we see that. I think if we were to see it, if that was the direction they were going in, we would get a little bit more fanfare. But you know, the Disney at this point is basically printing money with all of the MCU stuff that they put out there. So why spend money on fanfare when you can just print it and get people interested in the show regardless, however it is that you choose to introduce them to the show? All right, last question here comes from Shakar, a longtime listener. So would you rather have an extra non-functional finger or toe? Toe, easily. Although, oof, yeah. Yeah, still easily because, you know, if it's non-functional anyway and it's going to look weird because you have an extra digit, like, obviously you would prefer to keep that covered at all times. So put a sock on, put a shoe on it, and you're not, people might not notice it as quickly. That said, if it's non-functional and you just have like a dead piece of meat in between your toes, that wouldn't be all that comfortable either. So I guess easily, I would probably go back and edit out me saying easily on this one, but still, let me hide it and because otherwise, like if I have a non-functional finger, right, and I just have a loose piece, like I'd have to explain that to everybody who saw it, and you know, if you ever go out to a bar, whenever we're allowed to go back to bars again, and you pick up your drink, some drunk person's gonna be like, "Oh my God, what's going on with your hand?" And then you have to explain it, and the drunk person's gonna ask like three follow-ups about it that you just don't feel like answering. Just keep that thing in a shoe, and maybe order an extra wide shoe so your toes don't feel like they're rubbing up on it all the time, and see if you can get by that way. All right. That's going to do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. When we come back tomorrow, Pete and I are going to be responding or reacting to the game that the Lakers will be playing in tomorrow and see where they find themselves at. Hopefully they can take care of business against the Wizards, but if not, you're going to hear probably an angry Pete and an angry me, which can be entertaining in its own. Until then, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. Talk to you tomorrow.